good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our interview series. I believe this is episode number 240. I kind of got the Ron Burgundy there, 240. But really excited. We're going to do things. I did something like this at the beginning of the summer where I got a bunch of coaches on and I asked a series of questions, same questions to the coaches going into the summer. And it was really, really good. Had 7 or 8 coaches, however that is, how many we had there. And so planning on having quite a few coaches on here to do little, you know, quick 10 to 20 minute-ish sound bites, just talking about their summer and everything that happened. So that's the direction we're going this week. And to kick things off, out of Samford, it was Samford University that you went to, right, Andy?
Yes, sir.
Yes, there he is, the man that held Steph Curry to 30 points in college. Mr. Andy King, head boys basketball coach at Elkhorn North High School. Andy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you.
Yeah. So, well, let's get it going here, Andy. You know, first question here that we got. What were the goals that you had? Thinking back to April and May, what were the things that you wanted to accomplish with your program this summer?
Yeah, you know, we were kind of in a unique situation with last season heading into this season in that we didn't have any seniors last year. So we had everybody coming back, obviously, off of our best season as a program, losing at the buzzer, the district final, to get to the state tournament. So you know, the goals that we talked about were, you know, we talked a lot about that final game throughout the summer, but kind of the big message was, you know, we having everybody back is obviously can be a luxury, but at the same time, we just didn't want it to be like wash, rinse, repeat, and we're just going to do what we did last year. So finding new ways to sort of innovate ourselves and not necessarily doing things different because you know, some of the changes we made last year, I think were reasons that we had such a good year for us, but it was more like how can our players then be better? So skill development was crucial all summer long. And then we hit the weight room really, really hard. And, you know, we feel like we started kind of a new strength schedule, kind of joining up with our football coaches a little bit 2 summers ago. And now kind of doing that again this summer, I feel like those 2 years have paid off for some of our guys who have been around. Mm-hmm. So getting their bodies in the right spots where they need to be, and continuing to grow that way. And then really hitting our skill development hard was our main goals all summer. There were some changes defensively and stuff that we wanted to make that we knew were super important with our summer league games. Mm-hmm. But yeah, everybody back, it was just like, you know, we don't want to just do the things we did last year. We want to get better at the things and be better at, you know, sort of the details and things like that. So we really paid attention to those and stressed those all summer.
The art of coaching, you know, you have a good year. You don't want to repeat everything, but you don't also want to take away things that were successful. And those are the things that you're really thinking about, right, Coach?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just the type of, I don't know if it's the math brain or analytic brain in me, but I always am just trying to think like what are ways, like even if it's just like just one aspect and you break down all these numbers and it's like, okay, well, if we can not get scored on in the paint, because that's what the number said hurt us the most this year, like what are ways we can tweak things to do that, or we're getting a lot of really good shots here, how can we get more of those, and just things like that, like I just like to tinker with all the time. So yeah, that was kind of what we thought going into the summer for sure.
Mm-hmm. What are some things that you did to work on those things, Andy?
Honestly, the league, summer league games, obviously, you know, they're always important, but they were really important for us with some of those little minor details we were trying to teach. And we had really, really good, obviously in the summer, like, you know, kids are playing baseball and there's football workouts and there's all things kids are getting pulled. And our really core group did a really good job of being there. Not only at the workouts, but at the league games. And we've had summers in the past where our summer league games were important because, you know, we were trying to establish things as our first couple of years as a school. But this summer, just some of these tweaks, like we were, you know, it was really, really important, especially defensively. And, you know, we knew we were going to make mistakes and all those types of things. And I am fully aware, like the summer league games, like, yeah, we want to win them and be competitive, but the watching us develop from the start of June to the end of June and how we played, and just really the tweaks that we wanted to make, I could really see them become more habits at the end of June than they were at the beginning. Yep. And that was like exactly what we wanted to see. So that's what we were looking for. And we really ended summer playing our best basketball. And a big one was when we went to Kansas City. I always like to get out of town if we can at all possible, just to, you know, do the whole team bonding thing and just play some random teams that you're not going to play three times in the summer and three times in the year. So when we went to Kansas City for that live weekend, it was awesome. And the guys were great and we played really well. It was just a really good way. You know, I think it was like we maybe had one more week of leagues after that, but it was just a really good way to end the summer, really stressing what we wanted to. So,
So, you know, next question is, how are you feeling after this summer? How do you feel about what you laid out in the spring and what you were able to develop throughout the summer? You know, did you hit the checkpoints that you wanted to hit for the most part?
You're exactly right. Like, we hit the checkpoints. You know, I keep saying defensively, like, there's changes we wanted to make defensively, but we weren't going to throw 100 new things at him. He's like, we would just want to get better at these main 2 to 3 concepts, and then all the other rotations and things we can get better at, you know, this fall and our little four-man workouts and stuff like that. And obviously, once we start practice and breaking it down, but if we could just really establish a couple of these changes, then we knew it would just make our fall workouts and the beginning of the actual season just so much better for us and easier for us to then go into deeper concepts than having to start from scratch. So, we were super, super pleased on those. Now it's a matter of, can we get up with the fall and pick up kind of right where we left off in the summer is kind of our hope.
Yep. It's, what's the date? I've even lost track of days now that we've started school again. August 22nd. I should probably know that a little bit better. I should probably know what I'm teaching tomorrow a little bit better than I do. What are you looking at for yourself here? Practice starts around November 13th, 14th, 15th, ish here in Nebraska. Yep. What are you looking at for yourself? What is a skill or a concept that you want to be better at before that ball officially goes up for practice in mid-November here in Nebraska?
Yeah, you know, I think this fall we'll spend a lot. You know, we have a good chunk. We have a couple really important pieces for us that are football players, and like Jace Reynolds and Ethan Beachy and stuff like that. But we have a nice core of guys that'll be around all fall. So within our skill work, obviously continuing to shoot the ball. You know, sometimes you get asked, like, you know, you guys shoot it really well. Like, what do you guys do? And I'm like, we just shoot it a lot. Like, this is what you got to do at our workouts. Like, we shoot all practice, all workouts. So just continuing to obviously get to that level, shooter at a higher clip. But I think in terms of improvement, finishing the ball around the rim, we have a couple guys that do it well. Still need to do it better, but if some of those other guys continue just to finish the ball around the rim at a higher clip, it'll just free up a lot of things for us offensively. And that was kind of the challenge for some of those guys individually this summer. Like, we had our goals as a program this summer, but we challenged some of the guys, like, you're a great three-point shooter, but you need to be able to attack, make the right play in the paint, or score the ball in the paint. And like I tell them, like, if you just wait till November 18th or whenever we start, like, it's just not going to happen. So it's like, you got to try those things in the summer and get comfortable with it. So that's going to be the message for sure this fall is can we finish better around the rim? We know we have really good shooters. So, you know, getting to the paint is a must for us. And then having guys, not just a 2 to 3 guys, but 4 to 5 to 6 guys that can really finish the ball through traffic would be important. So we'll definitely build that into our workouts.
Just sounds like to me, it's just, you know, undefeated season, you know, state championship there at Elkhorn North.
I mean,
you know,
I can't even believe how loaded Class B is next year. This year, it's just like, there's just so many good teams and so many good teams with players coming back. It's like, it's going to be a grind to, our record was whatever. I'm like, our record might not even be better than last year's, or it might be worse than last year's, but we might be a better team. It's just like our schedule is brutal. There's just so many good teams with guys coming back last year. So it's going to be an exciting year in Class B for sure. So
how do you prepare your guys for that? How do you mentally prepare? Yeah, we've got all these folks back. I went through that one year where we had a bunch of sophomores and juniors, and I think even before that, they were mainly freshmen and sophomores. It's like, hey, this isn't a given, how are you trying to motivate, get your guys ready to go, have them understand the urgency that they need? What are some things you're trying to do there, Andy?
Yeah, I think it all starts with building confidence. If guys are confident, I think it makes things on the basketball courts so much easier. And then to get that confidence, it's all about working hard. And we know these other good teams that we're gonna have to play all year, like, we know they're working their butts off all summer and all fall too. So it's what can we do to outwork people and to be a better collective unit. And we don't like not talk about it or shy. Like, we talk about our district final against Platteview and like, what are things we could have did better, and how can we get ourselves in a situation where we're not sitting in the locker room, in defeat in that situation. So we embrace those things and we talk about it, and we want to work hard, and we know it's going to be a super challenging year, but I think our guys are up for it. And part of it is we now have some seniors, but as part of it is, you go through a year without seniors, and we had really good leadership, but it's like, you're kind of young and dumb and you just play and you play hard, and then kind of, you get a couple nice wins and then the confidence rolls a little bit. And now all of a sudden when you get everybody back, it's like, guys, we can do this. If you just take the right approach to it. So,
yeah, I think, one of the things, and this has come up on more than one occasion the last few weeks on various pods, but like in your situation, even though you've got everybody back from that team and the names and the numbers on the team haven't changed, this is going to be a different team than you had last year. There's no way those personalities and those people are going to be the same in November as they were when you left that locker room in late February or early March, and I think that's something you got to think about too, right?
Absolutely. And it's a thing, like, that's the way it should be. And we should, if we're the same team as last year, then we don't really have a chance this next year. So it's like, I hope guys grew, and I hope guys, are better leaders and more comfortable in their skin and more vocal and have worked on different parts of their game and have come together more, off and on the court and things like that. So, we don't want to be the same team we were last year. And I think our guys should embrace being something different and trying to do something more for each other and for our school, and try to do something our program hasn't done, and that's get to the state tournament.
Perfect, Andy. Well, I'm looking forward to coming out and watching you guys practice, just absorbing all the wealth of knowledge there from a Samford University graduate who once again held Steph Curry to 30 points at one point.
And they should have beat Kansas this year. I got to say it. They should have beat Kansas.
But Steph wasn't your primary assignment. Let us be clear about
we played some matchup and I got switched on him a few times, but he wasn't necessarily my primary, so yeah.
He gave it up in a hurry when he saw that.
Yes, he did. Exactly, that's what I tell people.
Awesome stuff, Andy. Like I said, looking forward to coming out and watch you practice. Thanks for your time tonight, buddy.
Yep, appreciate it.
Yep. Coaches, if you are in the Omaha, Council Bluffs, Lincoln metropolitan areas and surrounding areas, it is that time of year again. It is time for the 2024 MBCA Fall Coaches Clinic Series. We're going to start this on Wednesday, September 18th. We're going to go 4 weeks in a row, September 18th, 25th, October the 2nd, and October the 9th. And we have got a great lineup of coaches. Drew Johnson, women's basketball coach at Nebraska Kearney. Marty Levinson, new men's basketball coach at Nebraska Kearney. Tim Sandquist, head men's basketball coach at Kirkwood Community College. Carrie Amy, the new women's basketball coach at the University of South Dakota. Mark Swoboda, from my alma mater, Briarcliff University. Go Chargers, head men's basketball coach there. Coach Swoboda is going to be down. Amy Williams, head women's basketball coach at the University of Nebraska, is going to be one of our guests. We've got a couple more slots to fill. So it is going to be a great series of clinics. It's going to be located at Legends Sports Bar here in Omaha, 72nd and Pacific Street, just east of 72nd Street there. And for those four clinics, $80 is going to cover your clinic fees, the beverages, the food, and the camaraderie, the networking, all of those different things you're going to have at the Metro Basketball Coaches Association Coaches Clinics here this fall series. It's going to be a great run of coaches, so I encourage you, get signed up today. If you want to get signed up, if you want more information, you can send an email to Tom Crable at mbcaomaha@gmail.com, and Tom will get back to you. He'll get you all the information that you need. So coaches, get signed up for this fall's run of coaches clinics for the Metro Basketball Coaches Association. Next up on this week's quick hitter list is Dane Bacon, head girls basketball coach at Bellevue West, coming off a state finals appearance last season with the Thunderbirds. Great season last year. Coach, it is Friday. It is 3:04, and we are both done being educators for the week. We are both feeling good right now.
Absolutely. Made it through another week. I'm excited you had me on, and yeah, I'm excited to be here.
All right. Well, hey, let's dive into it. Let's talk about the summer that you guys had. Again, coming off a great year. State runner-up. Just a lot of really, really good things that happened for you guys last year. But obviously, you know, it probably didn't take you long to start thinking about the next season and what you wanted to do. So in April and May, what were some of the goals that you laid out for the program that you thought were important to work on this summer?
Yeah, so the big thing, we had a big roster turnover. Obviously, we had a great year last year, and that was around a nucleus of some really great players that are off, you know, playing in college. Naomi White's out of Grand Canyon University. Annika Russell Brown's at Salt Lake City Community College. Kenzie Melcher just went out to Northwest Missouri State. Danny Coyter's at Bellevue. So we had a bunch of great players. We had a couple more seniors, Mia McVeigh, Kara Moeller, Amy Ullman, that left us. So our program is going to look a lot different. So I think the big thing in April and May was to get acclimated with some of our new kids coming in, making sure that we saw them play in the summer, kind of in their spring AAU events, to make sure that we were on the same page and kind of knew what we had coming in, because things look a lot different. So it was kind of, you know, what's the plan? What are we going to do? And what do we need to do to try to continue the success that we had as of late?
Mm-hmm. What are some things that you guys did? You know, how did you work on those things in May, June, and probably in, you know, maybe a little bit in July? Obviously, AAU takes over with a lot of that stuff. But, you know, how what are some tangible things that you guys worked on as a staff and with your kids to rebuild that stuff and have a bunch of new players step into a bunch of new different roles for you guys?
Sure. Obviously, May is kind of, you know, what can I do? So I'm constantly looking at stuff. I know it used to be Twitter, now it's X.com. I pull a lot of, you know, new information, new workouts, new drills, new things that we can implement to try to improve our players. We think that it's important as a staff to continue to develop, just because the game's always going to change. And if you get stuck doing the same things, you kind of might get stuck behind the eight ball. So always trying to improve. And, you know, I've got great mentors around me to try to talk to try to improve. As far as our players, June, you know, we hit June really hard, as does everybody else in high school. We lift 4 days a week. We're doing skill work 4 days a week. I'm big on letting our kids play too. And that's something that we've implemented over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years that I've been the head coach, is letting the girls really play and decide what some of those workouts look like. Because, you know, I'm a firm believer, and we believe that player led teams are going to be a little bit better. And I try to allow freedom. But you still have to structure some things. Typically, you know, Monday, Tuesday is a lot of skills, a lot of weights. Wednesday, we kind of open it up and let them play. And then Thursday, a lot of the time, we kind of script our games, whether we're doing 3-on-2s or 2-on-2s or 1-on-1s, and kind of script it and get the ball in their hand. And then, of course, we play in a summer league on Monday nights, just, you know, get kids acclimated with what things are going to look like, you know, next season. And also, we like to do that since the new June period has opened in the NCAA. We go out to this great event in Kansas City that mm-hmm. we're in front of a bunch of coaches and give our kids some exposure and just try to keep them excited. You know, when their games are 6 months away, how do you make things important to them right then and there? And we try to give them some of those opportunities.
Yeah. How are you and your staff kind of feeling after all of this? You feel like you, as I told, you know, or as I asked, I should say, my fault, as I asked Andy King, you know, I'm sure you had some boxes that you wanted to check along the way. Do you feel like you got most, if not all, of those boxes checked this summer? How are you feeling after it was all said and done?
No, we loved it. I think we were a little bit ahead of the curve just because we've got seven freshmen that are in that we like a lot. We played them a lot, so we're going to be young. So we might take some lumps early, but we really, really, really believe in our roster still, that we've got talented kids and we got kids that work hard, and we think our future is really, really bright. So it's just a new challenge. I think last year, you know, there's the pressure of, you know, everybody's back and we had a good year the year before. And do we have enough to win a state championship? And we felt like we did, fell a little bit short, but with this group, it's, you know, we don't want to have that hangover. We want to continue to get better. We don't want to take steps back. So you got to continue to challenge kids to try to improve. And you always want your program heading in the right direction. So we just continue to challenge the kids to get better and enjoy the process that it takes to be a good basketball team and a good basketball program.
What are some things that I'm flipping the script on you a little bit here, Dane. So I apologize without apologizing. So, but you know, you mentioned the seven freshmen. What are some things that you guys are doing to, you know, bring this new group of kids that you're really excited about, it sounds like, with these kids that are returning that are your veterans that have been part of the high school program from anywhere from 1 to 3 years?
I think the big thing is being patient. I know a couple of our players have said that, you know, maybe I've gotten a little bit softer or I've been less demanding, and I kind of have to laugh it off just because the kids are so young. At the end of the day, we do this to enjoy ourselves and have fun too. So there's been a lot of teaching. We got to break down the things that we're trying to do a little bit more. But it's also good for me to kind of allow them to play kind of freely as well, even though they're young players, to try to figure out what they are and where their strengths are. And if that means that we have to adjust some things, we have to adjust some things, because I don't think that, you know, no year's the same and no team's the same. So I feel like you've got to be able to adapt. And but I think the big thing is we've been trying to teach things a little bit more and talk to players about what we want things to look like and hold them accountable in a little bit different way, because, you know, last year I had 4 or 5 kids that started for 4 years. So the conversations with the players look a little bit different, but as you know, that's the most fun about our position is continuing to change and adapt and meeting what your team needs and what your program needs at any given time.
Yeah, just reinventing the whole thing, you know, putting it back together, you know, taking different puzzle pieces that are cut differently, but still trying to make something that's coherent out of it. You know, that's right. One of the fun things that we get to do. So
it is, because the goals don't really change. We want to be back at the state tournament. We want to be in the mix of things, but obviously it's going to look a little different. So what do we need to do to get that accomplished?
Yeah. How about you, Coach? You know, it's August. Let me look at my computer here. 23rd. I'm already, you know, again, full fledged school mode. I'm looking, losing track of the actual dates of what's going on. But
that happens in a hurry.
Yeah, doesn't take long. Especially, I think I had my 27th opening day last week. So yeah, they're starting to run into one another a little bit. So.
I'm chasing you. I remember year 1 or 2. I'm already year 11, so I feel that.
Oh, just a pup. Just a pup. So. But you got a couple months here before you really start cranking it up. You know, what are you looking at for Dane Bacon? What are you looking at to make yourself better, looking to improve yourself? What's maybe one or two things that you're going to really key in on to get yourself in the best position possible to be the best leader that you can be for Bellevue West?
Well, sure. Well, next week we already kind of get rolling. We're going to, we have our youth program, Bellevue Thunder. We start those tryouts. So I'll run that tryout with some of our high school kids, just kind of give back to our younger kids that look forward to being T-Birds a little bit later in their career. So right now we're looking at the Thunder team. How can we improve that? How can we coaches and places to be successful? How can we start to build relationships with our 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders so that Bellevue West is important to them? And then our high school kids will start after layup, be together in the mornings once we start our workouts. You know, when can we get into the weight room? And just kind of fine-tuning our schedule to make sure that our kids are prepared. And ultimately, that's just kind of a scheduling thing, and making sure that I'm paying attention to what's going on and who needs to be in the gym at what time, and kind of making sure that those things are together. While, I mean, I don't think that the improving ever stops. You got to continue to look at stuff. Like I said, I'm big on the YouTube, big on the X.com. Like, you can totally pull from kids, pull from anybody everywhere. I've got, you know, people like Doug Woodard in my life that, you know, you can bounce things off of and kind of keep things fresh. But I think it's just a constant wheel of continuing to learn and improve.
Yeah. Yeah, that Woodard guy, he's kind of old and crusty, and you know that.
Yeah, that's what what I tell him, but he'd do a thing or two too. So he's a good he's a good avenue to cross.
Yeah, I've spent a little bit of time with Doug over the last couple of years, you know. So but excited to put that out into the world as well. So Dane Bacon, Bellevue West head girls basketball coach. Dane, excited to come down and watch you guys play. Definitely be down for practice at some point and just kind of check some things out. So, you know, thank you in advance for letting me in the gym, and thanks for coming on here today. Appreciate it, my man.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Had fun, and thanks, and let me know if there's anything I can ever do.
Will do. Next up on this week's podcast is Lucas Dollinghouse, the head boys basketball coach at Johnson Brock High School here in Nebraska. Got a lot of Nebraska coaches on the horn this week, which is a good thing. So, Coach Dollinghouse, how are you doing this Friday afternoon?
Doing great. Weather's nice. Got a week done with school, so yeah, we're going good.
Yeah, yeah. Time to cruise into the weekend here. So, You know, we're talking about summers here, and Coach, obviously, you're coming off a great season, a state championship there. At Johnson Brock, Class D1 here in the state of Nebraska. So it's always probably a little bit easier to go into the off season with that with the biggest trophy you can get is residing in your school.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the kids, you know, it really motivates them for the next year. But, you know, the big thing is always you don't want to get complacent. It's pretty easy to just say, we did that. You know, maybe we don't have to work as hard now, but just maintain that motivation is a big deal, and the kids do a good job of buying into that and doing what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. So you win a state championship in March, and I just actually got done with talking to Dane Bacon, the girls basketball coach at Bellevue West, and they were state runner-up. So you guys have this terrific season. You take it as far as you can. But the way we know that the way that our minds work is it usually doesn't take us too terribly long to kind of start thinking ahead to the next season and you know, what do we need to do to get back here and that type of thing. So April and May, let's take it back to there. What were you thinking about? What were you and your staff talking about? Some of the things that you as a coaching staff wanted to work on this summer and get your team ready to hopefully get back to close to the place that you were at in the 23-24 season.
Yeah, so I learned a long time ago. I can remember, I think it was like my third or fourth year as a head coach. We had just got demolished in a sub-state semifinal game. I mean, we lost by 40 some points, and I remember sitting in the locker room after that game, and I told the kids, look, if you want to be on the other end of this, you really have to work hard during the summer. That's where you get better. And those kids, you know, to their credit, they went and played in a lot of MAYB tournaments in the summer and, you know, really worked hard in the gym and ended up winning a state title the next year. And so that really, to me, solidified how important the summer is. And I've always told kids and teams, you got to do things to get better in the summer. So, you know, after our season was over, you know, it's kind of like same-o, same-o. We had some kids that went off and tried out for club ball. And of course they had, you know, club ball practices and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. As a coaching staff, we had to think about, you know, we're going to be replacing two starters and our sixth man off the bench. You know, what are some things that we can do to, you know, really help our team and put us in a position to win again. So kind of the same-o as what I've been doing in the past. You know, I hear from coaches about team camps and hey, here are some opportunities for our kids. Whenever I had my team meeting to basically see who was interested in basketball, I think I had 28 kids show up, which
awesome.
Is going to be like an all-time high.
Yeah.
And we have a large group of boys going through our school right now, so I kind of expected that. So whenever I was lining up things for the summer, I wanted to give even our JV some opportunities. And so we did a few more JV team camps than what maybe I've normally done. But, you know, just knowing that we're going to be breaking in two new starters, that was a big thing. How do I get, you know, the kids to, you know, Sloan and Layton, who had started for us the last couple years, you know, those kids had played together for a long time. And so when you have that continuity, that's a big deal. You know, just trying to get that continuity back with some new guys, that was important. Mm-hmm. And guys learning to play new roles, because we have some guys who came off the bench last year that are going to have to start for us. You know, everybody is like next man up. So yep. We just had to get guys comfortable with those roles. So those are really the goals going into the offseason.
Yeah. What are some things that you did to, you know, kind of switch those roles around, get kids into new places and get them comfortable with those new roles? What are some things that you guys did this summer, Lucas, to make that happen?
Well, a lot of it was playing games. You know, June is pretty busy for us. I know, you know, my boys are going to be seniors, and they always joke, "Dad, you have us playing an NBA schedule in June." And it's like, well, you guys love to play basketball. Like, you know, it's the hard work. And, yeah. You know, I know when we won state 2 years ago, Sloan Pelican had said, you know, it was a lot of hard work. But looking back, we see the importance of it now. And it is true. And so, you know, we went out to Kearney and played in the Mr. Basketball, and we were able to go 5-0 in that. We beat some good teams, you know, Kearney High, Auburn, Ashland Greenwood, Lincoln Christian, and Waverly. That was some solid competition for us. And to go out and compete was huge. We went to the Midwest Showcase in Kansas City. Played some teams from other states and went 4-0 in that. We just had a really good summer and played a lot of games. And then, you know, we did some skill sessions after conditioning where the kids could come in once a week and, you know, just do some shooting workouts or whatever. But really the thing that I'm most proud of as a coach and what I really appreciate, we have a group of kids right now that love basketball, and they come in and they're self-driven to get better. Mm-hmm. And so we have kids in the gym all the time just shooting or dribbling or whatever, you know, and they come in whenever, if it's after a football practice or if it's, you know, after baseball or something. Like, they're making time to come in the gym and get better. And so really, those were some of the good things that I saw throughout mm-hmm. the month of June.
Yeah. So it sounds like you and your coaching staff, obviously you're never happy, but you're never content. You're never satisfied, but it sounds like you're pretty pleased with the progress that your kids made here in improvement season.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel really good about where we're at, mainly because the kids are self-motivated and they want to win. They want to do well. You know, when you have 28 kids possibly going out for basketball, that makes for some competitive practices. It really makes the kids push one another. And so I just really appreciate their effort and their willingness to get better. And mm-hmm. You know, we'll see what happens in November, but they're off to a good start right now.
Yep. You know, you're at a smaller school, probably got a lot of kids involved with a lot of fall activities. So, to a degree, you've got a little bit of time on your hands. Now, I know, like, you're the superintendent and the principal and driving the bus and all these other things. You know, you're not cooking the noon meals, are you, Coach?
No, not this week.
Not this week.
No, we got great. So yeah, we're good.
Yeah. So you got a little bit of time on your hands before the season gets going. What's maybe one or two things that you are looking at for yourself and as the head coach of the program, you want to study, analyze, get better at, to try and get your kids back down to Pinnacle Bank Arena in the state of tournament next spring?
Well, it's always keeping things fresh because, you know, we really don't do anything fancy. We don't run a lot of set plays because I can't remember half of them. So we just don't run a lot of sets, but it's nice to throw one or two in, you know, here and there. And so, you know, researching those, seeing what fits best for our team, try to do that. You know, just thinking about how we can put kids in the right positions to be successful. And that's really the most important thing. You know, watching some film, I like to watch some of our old films and watch what other teams do to us, so that, you know, maybe I can steal something from them. Some of my best inbounds plays came from watching things that people have scored on us with. So I just kind of steal those and use them. But that's really what it's about. The other thing, and even for the kids' perspective, is just taking a little break from it.
Sure.
Because we, you know, when our season extended into March, and then, you know, you're in April and May trying to get ready for summer, and then summer's long. Sometimes you just need a break. And, you know, with being the principal here, there's a lot of principal duties that you've got to do.
Yep.
So it's just kind of nice to get away for a little bit. But, you know, once we get into, you know, the end of September, October, then it really starts hitting hard again, and you get that bug back and you're ready to go. And so
the juices get flowing.
Oh yeah. And I just think, you know, now's just a good time to, you know, you can kind of think about what your opponents may do, but I spend a lot of time mowing lawns and stuff. And I think about basketball and stuff, but I have no way to write things down. So that, you know, it's whatever I can remember. But, yeah, it's fun. You know, it's a good time. It's nice. You know, you enjoy football season and volleyball and stuff, but, we're excited to get going again.
Here's the most important question I'm going to ask you for this little quick hitter, Lucas.
Yeah.
Rider or self-propelled?
It's got to be rider.
Okay.
Big time.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. Yeah. That's what I figured. If you're doing multiple lawns and things like that, I figured to be a rider, but I just wanted to verify. So.
Oh yeah, it's a rider. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
Lucas Stallinghouse, head boys basketball coach at Johnson Brock. Coach, I really appreciate your time, and hey, good luck this season. Look forward to trying to track you down at some point in the winter.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
All right. In 1993, Counting Crows referred to Omaha as somewhere in Middle America. More people know Omaha as the home of Warren Buffett, the Union Pacific Railroad, and the College World Series. Athletically, Nebraska is known for its dominance in college and high school football and volleyball, while basketball has perennially been on the back burner. But for one season, in its largest city, basketball was king of the state. In a time of social and political turmoil in our country, three high school boys' basketball teams from Omaha, Nebraska were ranked in the top 25 in the country, featuring some of the best talent that one city has ever produced anywhere in the country. Amongst these three teams were nine Division I basketball players, and all 15 starters from these three teams played collegiate athletics at various levels for at least two seasons. Kings of their court, three teams, one city, and the greatest basketball season in Nebraska high school history begins with the chaotic ending of the 2020 state tournament as the whole world was shutting down due to the COVID-19 virus. Over the span of the next year, these players, coaches, and parents navigated their basketball futures while also, like the rest of the United States and the world, worked through COVID quarantines, the George Floyd murders and riots, the political turmoil of the 2020 presidential campaign, and much more. One year later, the destinies of these three teams would intertwine themselves for the final time at the 2021 Nebraska State Basketball Tournament, where the crescendo to this story occurred 365 days after it began, with some of the best high school basketball any state has ever seen. Kings of their court, three teams, one city, and the greatest basketball season in Nebraska high school history is the story of highly driven individuals searching to achieve lifelong dreams and aspirations, both on and off the basketball floor, during a season that almost didn't happen. Kings of Their Court will be published on October the 1st, Tuesday, October the 1st. Kindle copies are $9.99. Paperback copies are $19.99. Copies are eligible to be pre-ordered today, so be sure to get on Amazon.com and pre-order your copy of Kings of Their Court. Next up on this week's How Did the Summer Go podcast here, Jason Dossinger from Etowah High School in Georgia. We're I think you might be the one guy I have on this week, Jason, that isn't from Nebraska. You're driving back from North Carolina. Did a little Scottish ball striking this weekend.
Yeah, I had a nice little, I call it a men's retreat. It works out a lot better with my wife when I tell her I'm going on a men's retreat than a golf trip. But one more little weekend away before it all gets cooking real quick.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So you don't have to give any particular numbers. Was it a golfing-wise, you know, the number of strokes, a good weekend, average weekend, or a weekend you'd like to forget?
Very good weekend for me. Okay. I was very pleased with how I played today.
All right.
And yesterday.
Yeah, very yep. good. I like that men's retreat, though. That's
yes.
It's just like coaching. It's all in how you phrase things.
That's right, yeah. My wife was like, who's going? I was like, you know, Cliff and Brad. She's like, wait, are you guys playing golf? I was like, well, you know, maybe. Possibly.
Well, if she listens to this, she'll be okay with it. So,
right.
Jason, again, like we talked about just before we got rolling here, let's talk a little bit about coming into the summer. Let's go back to March, April, May, as you're putting together your Etowah squad for the 24-25 season. You know, what were the goals? What did you want to accomplish this summer with your fellas?
Well, for us, we're pretty undersized in the largest class in Georgia, so we're going to be playing some studs this year, and so we really just wanted to focus on shooting the ball well. We do a pretty good job defensively, so we really focus on offense in the offseason and just getting up a lot of shots and just making the extra pass,
mm-hmm.
Being okay, being selfish or selfless. We don't have a guy that's going to go get 40 a game, but we do have a very good team that if they pass the ball and don't care who scores, we should have a lot of good opportunities. So we just really worked on a lot of shooting and a lot of disadvantage situations where you, you know, make one more pass and hopefully get a better, you know, a great shot instead of a good shot.
Yeah, it's just, you know, how'd you guys work on that? Was it a lot of open gym stuff? Do you have a lot of league games? What are some, if you had those workouts, you know, what are some, maybe some things that you did within those workouts to emphasize those things?
Yeah, well, we do a 25,000 shot club starting after spring break. So it's about a month after our season. And we have a QR code and we have open gyms. The guys can get in before school and after school. And they just have to record their shots. And so we tell our guys, you got to get 25,000 shots up over the summer. If you don't get 25,000 shots up, then we're not going to work with you right now. Right now, we can be on the floor with four guys. It's four on ones in Georgia until October 21st.
Okay.
And so in order for them to get on the floor with us in August, they've got to show us that they've put the work into. So a lot of that on their own. And then we can play, obviously, I think like most high schools, with our own team, and I can coach my team in June. And mm-hmm. so that's just kind of how those practices.
So how you feeling now? I mean, how do you feel at the end of the summer? How are you feeling about your fellas?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. You know, we are undersized. We're in the largest classification in Georgia. There's a lot of nationally ranked teams. But the way we played this summer, we played defense well enough where if we can hit some shots, we could scare some people. You know, 9 times out of 10, we may not win, but there's always that one time. And so that's kind of what we're preparing for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, Jason? What are you going to work on here? You know, you're coming back from the last men's retreat of the summer here. What's your goal between now and late October to make yourself as good as you can be to lead your team for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I'm going to go to a couple of college practices. Our point guard from 2 years ago is at Virginia Tech, so I want to go watch and see what they do. And then, you know, I don't really love going to conferences, but I like reading conference notes and, you know, seeing it. And so Hurley's got some practices that he is selling. I think it's like $30. And so I'm going to buy those. A lot of them deal with defense. And we just got to find a way to steal a few possessions. We tell our guys, like, if we can find a way to steal 8 to 10 points a game, we've got a shot against anybody. And so just kind of see how they defend ball screens, how they peel switch. Just some stuff like that to figure out defensively how we might be able to confuse someone and get a couple turnovers.
Perfect. Well, hey, Jason, I know it's been a crazy weekend. I know you've been really, really busy. I appreciate you taking the time here on your way home to talk to me again and letting folks know here in the Appendant and Napkin Network what's going down there in Georgia.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you as always, and good luck this season as well.
Yep, thank you. Next up on this week's podcast, How Did the Summer Go? It is Andy Gillen, the head boys basketball coach at Ogallala High School in Ogallala, Nebraska. I just talked to a coach from Georgia, Andy. Now, the golfing that you were doing yesterday is a little bit different than what he did all this weekend. How did your golf game break down yesterday? How'd you hit the ball there out on the links that you were on?
Well, it's always an adventure when I go out. I usually just try and be mindful of my moment, enjoy my time with the people I'm with, because typically the golf game is not my savior. So yeah. I'm usually all over the place, up and down, all around. So
yeah.
I was good enough to beat a couple of my sons. So that's not saying much.
Now, we don't need to get into any details, but you didn't hit any windmills or any animals in the middle of, or anything?
No, I may hit him an out-of-bounds stick, but I never hit anything living, so that's positive.
When I called Coach Gillen yesterday, he was mini-golfing with the family. So Coach Dossinger was real golfing, and you were mini-golfing, right, Andy?
That's right.
Yeah. So
a little bit safer.
Same sport, just a little bit different form, you know, type
that's
of thing.
Right.
Yeah. So. Hey, Andy, I appreciate you coming on here. Let's jump into it. Let's go back in time here. Last April, last May, what were you thinking for your guys here coming into this summer? What were some of the things that you and your coaches wanted to accomplish this summer to get your 24-25 squad ready to go?
I know this going into this summer, I had more questions about this team than I've had and maybe any team that I've coached. It's a really unique situation because we won't have a senior on our roster this year. I knew that we had some really good guys that, you know, that are going to be juniors. We have, you know, Saw Smith and Eden Cade and Rylan Gilmore that were steady for us last year at varsity players. But that's really all we had coming back that I knew anything about. So I think the big thing was, how are we going to fill some of these holes with guys that probably aren't quite ready yet? Mm-hmm. You know, you like to be able to get your freshmen and sophomores a lot of run at that reserve and JV level, and even sometimes your juniors as well. We're just not going to be in a position like that this year because, you know, we don't have a senior class. So I would say the biggest questions are, how are we going to fill spots with guys that probably aren't quite ready? That was the big question mark going into the summer.
Yeah. What are some things that you did this summer to bridge that gap, to work on that with your team?
Well, first and foremost, you know, we talked to them about what our concerns were. You know, we try and be completely transparent as a coaching staff with what we're looking at and what we think we need and, you know, what we definitely need to get better at. And we just talked to our younger guys about, you know, we're going to need them just to get themselves in a position where they're probably, you know, ready to do something that normally we wouldn't ask someone in their position to do for a whole other year. Mm-hmm. And I was extremely pleased with how some of our sophomores just really stepped up as far as, you know, and it wasn't necessarily in June. They started when we got back, you know, after our Wahoo loss. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, there's a lot of guys here with a lot of pride that want, you know, they want to kind of continue this little streak that we have going as far as, you know, at least being a competitive team coming out of the West Side. Mm-hmm. So, guys put in a lot of work. And in June, you know, it's, to me, basketball is 100% a skilled sport that just, it takes what it takes and it just takes reps. And, you know, you always want to get some games in, you know, you want to have a chance to, you know, let them see how they look in a game environment. But quite frankly, we really value the skill work time. You know, we offer skill work time, you know, 5 days a week. You know, none of it's mandatory. We just offer it because we're already up there in the gym. am really pleased with just how many guys, you know, came up and worked on their individual game to put themselves in a chance to help our team be better.
Yeah. So how are you feeling now? How are you feeling at the end of July, early August? You know, obviously August is a really quiet time for us here in Nebraska. How do you and your staff feel about how your kids embrace the challenge?
Well, we're excited, you know, and it's just like anything, you know, the summer tells you a certain amount, but you'll never know until you get, you know, into, you know, November and then December when you start games, because it is different, you know, games in the regular season are different than summer games.
Yep.
But we're extremely excited. We think we've got a really hungry young group. We think we've got a bunch of guys that feel like, you know, maybe this is the year to catch us. And I think we've got some guys that, you know, are really fired up about it and have worked really hard. You know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. What about you, Coach? You know, what are you going to be focusing on for yourself, for your own development, before you get going with your guys this fall here, before practice hits? What do you want to be better at by the time practice hits?
Well, you know, I think it's an ever, you know, you're a lifetime learner in our business. And something that we ask our kids to do as coaches is we want them to constantly, you know, sacrifice time and get themselves better and get in the gym. And I think as coaches, we owe that to them to get better as a staff. And we'll definitely, you know, we always go on like a little coaching retreat before we get started with the season. And it's usually just to get on the same page with everything that, you know, that we're looking at. And each team, you know, at the high school level, you know, you have to adjust to your team. And every team looks a little bit different. And it's, in my opinion, you know, we change up just a little bit every year. You know, this year we'll go on our little retreat together as a staff. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a connection of coaches that we typically like to reach out to. And, you know, everybody's got something they're doing better than you.
Yeah.
So usually you have something that you can trade and steal there with each other. But yeah, it's really important to us as a staff that, you know, we go into the season, you know, we hit that retreat where we all get together, you know, we get away from the real world for 2 or 3 days and kind of lock ourselves in our room and just mm-hmm. try and figure out what we want, you know, it to look like going into the season. And, you know, you say that and, you know, we've changed that a number of times once we've gotten going.
Yeah.
Because again, you just don't always know.
Yep.
And, you know, a very perfect example is last year, you know, Harry Caskey got hurt. You know, we anticipated him being back relatively early in the season and it never happened. So, you know, our original plan, we just had to scrap and we went a different direction and created a new plan. And that's just the way it works. But I'm absolutely a believer that coaches need to continue to learn and find ways. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's different now than when I started, you know, coaching clinics and, you know, ordering videos and things like that. You know, now it's just like every single thing you need is online. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just completely different. I mean, there's good stuff on Instagram. I mean, mm-hmm. there's just so much free stuff out there that you can constantly, you know, it can be a little addictive, to be honest with you. Sometimes you almost have to shut it down. Like, okay, I've got too much now. Now I need to cut more out.
Yep.
Quit finding more stuff. But
yeah. like Don Meyer said, when you add something, you got to subtract something.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually saw Don Meyer speak in a clinic at Denver. And this was obviously years ago. And he handed out all kinds of cards that he gives to his players. And, you know, we still have those. We still do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never listened to a guy at a coaching clinic. And, you know, you go to Nike clinic and things like that. So you hear some of these big time guys. But something about Coach Meyer, I couldn't take my eyes off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke for about an hour and a half. And it was just absolutely brilliant. I mean, he just was such a genius when it came to not only the X's and O's, but just how to create that team vibe and that team group. And yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool to hear him speak.
Talk to us a little bit about this coaches retreat that you do every year.
Basically, it's just me and my staff getting together. Uh-huh. And depending on, you know, if we've got time to leave, you know, we're fortunate that we have Lake McConaughey here. And we've got a guy that's got a cabin out there. So that's always an option for us. Sometimes we leave town. Sometimes we go with the girl staff. It just depends year to year. And typically as, you know, football starts to wind up, you know, the majority of our guys are doing football, or they're running cross country, or they're doing something. And then, you know, our coaches are busy too. I coach middle school football. You know, one of my assistants is on the high school staff. So, you know, we try and schedule it around, you know, there's kind of that dead part typically in between football and basketball, depending on how far your high school team goes. But, it's essentially just us getting together, you know, and, you know, pen and a napkin, and what do you guys think? And just kind of going over what we want our season to look like. And, you know, there's the coaching clinics aren't, they just don't seem to be as around as much. And it can be harder for us out of Nogalala just because we're so far away from everything. But it's mostly about us getting together and getting on the same page. Yep. That's what I would say. And just kind of disconnecting from the world for, you know, 48 hours or so.
Absolutely. Sounds awesome, Andy. If it wasn't 6 hours away, I'd love to be a fly on the wall, but Mrs. Plum might have something to say about that. So
yeah, I get it. I get it. So.
Andy Gillen, head boys basketball coach at Ogallala High School here in Nebraska. Andy, I really appreciate your time. I hope you've recovered from the mini golf yesterday. Ice down those calves if you need to, my friend.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate the advice.
Yeah. Every once in a while, a blind squirrel finds a nut. So
there you go.
All right.
Well, thanks for having me. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you, my man. Coaches, get signed up today for the 4th annual A Pen and a Napkin Coaches Clinic. This year's clinic will take place on Saturday, April 27th at the AEF Basketball Academy facility located at South 99th Circle and Portal Road in La Vista, Nebraska. We've got a great lineup of speakers, starting out with 3 on-court demonstrations. Justin Carter, former Creighton basketball player and owner and operator and founder of Pro Vision Basketball here in Omaha. He's going to do some essential skills and drills for player development. Dave Hubert, the head girls basketball coach at Ashland Greenwood High School, is going to do defensive principles and drills. Mark Sfigera, the head men's basketball coach at my alma mater, the Harvard of the Heartland, Briarcliff University. Great offensive mind, and he's going to talk about offensive basketball. One of the great things that we do at a Pen and a Napkin Clinic is we have our classroom sessions during our lunches. We've got 3 great speakers to come in this year to talk during our lunches. Jim Simons, the head boys basketball coach at Omaha Westside, is going to talk about using the 3-point shot. Andy Gerlez, my good friend G, going to talk about building a program foundation and practice principles from Papillion La Vista South. And Tyler Bird, the Think Shrink, you heard him on the podcast a few weeks ago. He's going to talk about mental health for coaching and keeping balance in your coaching life. And then we're going to have 2 breakout sessions. That's probably the thing that makes a Pen and a Napkin Clinic the most unique thing, is you're going to sit around and you're going to talk with random coaches about random topics and pick the brains of random coaches that are going to be there for the clinic. Along with that, once the clinic is done, perhaps the best part of the clinic, I don't know, there's a lot of good things about the clinic, is our post-clinic social. And that's going to be at Wine 121, located at 120th and Center here in Omaha. Just $15 per coach if you want to attend that. Again, it's all about the coaches, and I try to keep it really, really affordable. This year, for one coach, for over 7 hours worth of stuff, $50. That's about $7 an hour to get great information. 2 coaches from a staff, $90 or $45 a piece. 3 coaches from the same staff, $120. So $40 a piece. If you have 4 or more coaches from your staff, that's $35. That's $5 an hour that you're going to pay for your whole staff to have a great day of knowledge and learning things. So if you're interested in signing up for the clinic, look for our flyer on Twitter, or you can email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. You can DM me on Twitter. Registrations are due Thursday, April 25th. Have to do that for the lunch count and make sure that we're taken care of there. But coaches, you will not regret signing up for the 4th annual A Pen and a Napkin Coaches Clinic. Do that today. Last but certainly not least on this week's podcast, how did the summer go? Is Jordan Arnsdorf, the head girls basketball coach at Pleasanton High School, just north of Kearney, Nebraska. Coach, how you doing this Sunday evening? This has been like a 4-day podcast, and you're my last one here.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I was actually just in your neck of the woods this weekend and driving back from Omaha right now, so it's worked out perfect.
Ah, what were you doing in the fair city?
I was playing a little golf with some buddies.
You know, you are the third person that I've had on that did some golfing this weekend, so...
Yeah, it was hot.
two regular golfers. There was a mini golfer as well. So I don't, you know, but hey, it's still golf. But we're still going to qualify it that way. So, yeah, it was warm. It is still warm out here tonight. So, well, hey, Coach, let's talk a little bit about your summer and how everything went. Let's go back to last spring, last April, May. What were you thinking about for your program? What did you want to accomplish? What were you and your coaching staff talking about to try and get you guys in the best place possible by the end of the summer, hopefully? What was the focus?
Yeah, you know, we came off a tough season. I think we were a game or two below 500. Had a pretty young team. But going into the spring and summer, we had a really we had a junior high team that did a really nice job past couple of years, where we're getting some of those girls to be freshmen now. So I think, you know, the goal was to kind of, how are we going to integrate those girls into the program and this summer and get them going, and how are they going to mesh with some of the older girls? And, you know, we did a lot, honestly, this summer. We stayed busy and we worked on it a lot, and we had probably one of the better summers we've had since in the last 4 years. So I'm very excited going into this season.
Yeah. What did you do to kind of try and bring those younger kids, those freshmen in with your kids that were coming back from last season?
Yeah. So, you know, being at Pleasanton, we're a smaller school, so I get the chance to also coach the junior high girls basketball team. So a lot of stuff that, you know, that we're running in our high school program, we're also running in junior high. So, you know, the girls are definitely a step ahead, in that situation, where, you know, a lot of the offenses we run or defenses we run, they know the principles and all that and all those things. And besides that, also like the drills, practice drills and stuff. So we really, you know, some summers it takes a while to get going on that stuff, but the girls picked up right away. So it was fun to see the transition.
How important is that to have, that silo type of effect? Here's what we're doing at this age, you know, and having those building blocks, you know, in your community like that.
Oh man, I think it's huge. I got the opportunity now. I think this would be my third year coaching junior high girls basketball, as well as the high school team. And since then, it's just been so much smoother as far as the transition piece from junior high to high school. And, you know, I have a bunch of girls that are coming into this freshman class right now that really love basketball and take it very seriously. And I'm excited to see how they can integrate and push some of them older girls on the team for sure.
Mm-hmm. So how did you feel? You know, what did you all do this summer and how did you feel about it? I mean, a lot of team camps, I'm assuming, that type of thing?
Yeah. What we usually do in the summer is the girls will lift 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. After weights, you know, we have open gyms, Monday through Thursday, at least in June, where they're working on, you know, fundamentals and all that good stuff. And then what we do is we go up to Broken Bow for a league on Monday nights about in June. And then we go to a few team camps. You know, we go to Kearney Catholic a couple times, go up to Concordia, and Wilcox this summer. So we were busy. We played a lot of basketball. Which is what was exciting is the girls wanted to play all that basketball. Sometimes you go through summers, we're like, yeah, you know, maybe we need this to be the last camp or be ready for this to be done. But I didn't feel like that at all. We wrapped up at the end of June at Concordia and had a really, really good day there and left excited for the season for sure. So we're excited to pick back up, after volleyball here.
Mm-hmm. You know, how did you kind of evaluate everything? You know, when you and your coaches sat down at the end of the summer, what was kind of the vibe for your staff here? And how do you guys kind of take a look at how are some ways that you tried to at least a little bit tangibly? I know there's some intangibles with it. That's the great thing about our sport is you can mix intangibles with tangibles. But what are some ways that you guys looked at it in that regard?
Yeah, we we kind of messed around with some different things this summer. You know, the last few years, and so we've had to defensively play, you know, adjust that way and really play a lot of man-to-man and get up at people's, you know, and their handles and stuff. But we're going to be a little bit longer this year now. And a lot more athletic. So we've been messing around some different defenses this summer and kind of looking to see what we can do and what works best for us and having some fun with it. And I think we have a pretty good idea going into the season what we want to do. Mm-hmm. So I think that was kind of fun, just kind of working in some different stuff and seeing where girls can play what positions and little things like that.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. What about you, Coach? You know, we had talked pre-recording that you've got football season going on here and you're helping out with that. But when you have the time, what are some things that you want to do to make yourself the best basketball coach that you can be heading into the 24-25 season? What's kind of maybe a focus or two of that you're going to take a look at?
Yeah, something I'm definitely going to do this fall is, now that we have the shot clock at our level, is I need to really get into that and study that a little bit, you know, or talk to people that have dealt with the shot clock and kind of figure out how we want to manage games. So that's definitely going to be an important part of the season. I don't think it's going to change all that much, mm-hmm. honestly, but, you know, the end of the quarter situations, in a half, into games, we definitely need to be on top of that. And we're probably going to have to run a few more sets than we usually run too, just because of the shot clock situation. So I don't, and, you know, just kind of always evolving. I need to get, you know, one thing I'm always looking into, I feel like I do a pretty good job coaching defense, mm-hmm. but just kind of always trying to evolve on the offensive end and just kind of expand the coaching in that way too.
Gotcha. Well, I'm sure you'll have your kids ready to roll. You do a terrific job, and next time you're in Omaha golfing, I mean, don't be afraid to call. I mean, I got the sticks in the trunk, so
there you go.
They're ready to go. A few weeks ago, I went out with Kruger and Gerles and Crable, and I had one par three from 160 out, hit it with a 5-iron, got it within about 3.5 feet of the cup. I should have just quit right there. But it was like hole 16, so it was a pretty good way to.
The shot that'll keep you coming back, though, right there.
Unfortunately, that's the problem. That's the problem. So
it's addicting. So
yes, too much so, very much so. So, well, hey, Coach, good luck this year. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your time, and always appreciate your support to Pen and a Napkin.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah, should be good this year. So, coaches, you've heard from, 6-7 different coaches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 coaches from, you know, a lot of Nebraska folks. 1 Georgian, girls coaches, boys coaches. A little bit of everything here on how summers went and how to evaluate your summers. So hopefully you take a look at that. We'll be back with more next week. Tony and I'll be back. You know, subscribe to the opening tip newsletter, all that stuff. There are a lot of good things going on here with a Pen and a Napkin. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.